Good afternoon, residents. Hope everybody's doing well, weathering the wind. I'm here today because of questions to talk about waivers and insurance. We'll get into a little bit of the COVID thing, which relates to the waivers. Recently, the board had the clubs send to all of their members a waiver, which for all of the people who have been here all these years, it was a new waiver. Now, this waiver was actually approved about, not quite a year ago, maybe last May, April. And the reason was when the state and county closed us down for COVID, and then remember for a while we got to reopen. We knew that they were going to be letting us reopen a little bit. We had to come up with the board a brand new waiver to deal with the COVID liability. Now, keep in mind, remember we've said there's no insurance for COVID. So one of the new clauses in the waiver is a specific part about COVID and basically saying, you know, you're going to be responsible. You need to, you know, maintain distancing, wash your hands, do all that stuff. But it's also saying you're responsible whether you get COVID or not. It's not the fault of the HOA. Namely, we didn't want 500 lawsuits over COVID, especially because we don't have any insurance. Now, waivers themselves, so different questions have popped up about the waiver, namely guests. Do guests sign waivers? Why do residents have to be responsible for their guests? And these different questions, and they actually pop up just about every year. When the clubs usually meet, they would meet, I think in November, there would be waivers handed out to all the clubs and groups. Now, we're going to systematize that a little better for the future, but we didn't need to hand these out last November because we're closed down, right? So there's been waivers since the beginning of this development. Pulte had a waiver and had pretty much the same similar language, namely a waiver, a hold harmless agreement that you're not going to sue the HOA for basically what we believe is your responsibility. So if you play tennis and you run into the pole, we don't think the HOA is at fault for that. We think you should not have run into the pole. That's an example that happened on my club up north. Somebody filed an action because they ran into a pole. Now, the new waiver has language about COVID, and we had to do that last year very specifically because there's no insurance for COVID at the moment. Any claim is paid for by HOA cash and or residents. This is where it gets to be personally, financially risky for every resident, and the board's concern is to make sure the residents are protected. So the new language in the waiver makes clear that you are responsible dealing with COVID. Now, purposes of waivers, simply stating, they are there to put in writing that an individual is responsible for their own actions. Now, we have to put it in writing and naturally do it according to the legal lawyer, you know, mumbo jumbo. They want language the way they want it, in order for it to hold up in court. So the HOA is letting you know that activities are dangerous. They can cause injury. Consequently, you cannot request damages for your own actions when you're injured. That's the purpose of the waivers. Otherwise, it could be very expensive for the HOA. Now, most of you, you're very used to signing waivers. If you went on a rafting trip, you're gonna sign a waiver. You go skydiving. I did a skydiving thing once. You sign a waiver. You sign away your life. Stagecoach, you go get a stagecoach ticket. My friend got a stagecoach ticket. They had signed a waiver. So waivers are pretty much part of the normal process to inform people that they're responsible for their own actions. So the question came up, why now? Well, actually, this was approved last year when we were opening the gym because everybody who was going to use the gym during the COVID time needed to sign a waiver. And this was part of the mind-body reservation system. So if you remember when you signed up on MindBody to make a reservation to use the gym or go swimming, you actually clicked on terms and conditions for which you agreed to the waiver. Now, why are we doing this now, and we didn't do it in November, is because we do have people watching and listening for the state and county orders. We're hearing rumblings out of the state that they're going to be trying, hopefully the next week, couple weeks, 3 weeks, to start loosening up and removing some restrictions. So we're trying to get ready. We want to be able to open just as fast as possible. Remember, this board is not trying to decide whether opening, closing is right or wrong. We're just following the law. And if they allow us to open, this board's going to open. So to do that, we need clubs and groups to sign a waiver, because if you don't have a waiver, we're not going to be able to let you into the clubhouse. So that's why that's starting up now. We're hopeful to get something going here in the next couple of weeks. So we're trying to stay ahead of the curve a little bit. Now, waivers are not required for every resident in the community. An example, if a resident moved here and never used common area facilities like the pools, the tennis courts, the clubhouse, never came in to play cards, never did billiards, crafts, they would have no requirement to fill out a waiver. They have, under the governing documents, the right to use the streets. We can't deny that. And so they don't need a waiver if that's what they're doing. So do we get waivers on everyone? No, we don't. We do the best we can with processing. And the board's actually meeting on Monday, and one of the agenda items is processing of waivers and trying to make it efficient as possible. So what we do want to get waivers for are activities like swimming, pool, you know, and we want to get it from clubs and groups. We need waivers for the craftspeople. We need waivers for billiards. Now, some people think, and I understand the concern, that waivers for athletic sport activities should be done, but waivers for people playing cards should not be done. The board at this point does not see that argument, because somebody playing cards could walk down the hallway and with no fault of the HOA, trip over their shoe, fall, break a hip. The HOA does not believe we should be responsible for that. So the question of a waiver is to simply say your actions, you will be responsible for your actions. Now, where we have problems in the process is, for instance, we don't get waivers from somebody attending a concert, like community singers. People can buy tickets. Somebody might buy 5 tickets. Well, we could have the person buying a ticket do a waiver, but the other 4 people, we don't have waivers. So it's not a perfect system. We understand that. We do the best we can, and we try to get as many waivers signed in order to protect the HOA from what we would consider frivolous lawsuits and unjust lawsuits. Now, this then brings up the whole issue of guests. Now, as far as guests, homeowners are currently responsible for guests. This is stated in numerous places in the governing documents. It's been this way since the very beginning. So, for example, homeowners are responsible for their guests. If a guest went through a stop sign, the homeowner would be sent the citation. We don't send it to the guest, and that's because the HOA has no jurisdiction over a guest. We could send the citation to them, but they could just throw it away. They don't have to pay it. They might voluntarily because they're nice, but they don't have to. So what would happen, think about this, if we decide that homeowners are no longer responsible for their guests? Well, you can't decide that they're no longer responsible. Governing documents say you're responsible. But let's say the board said, we're not enforcing the responsibility onto homeowners. So there'll be no citations to homeowners for a guest. Well, then What happens when guests go through stop signs or speeding? Would that become more prevalent? What happens when a guest is injured? Or what happens when a guest causes damages? So let me give you a couple examples, real life examples we dealt with. We had a guest who couldn't get out the side gate because the guest, you know, has to go out the main gate. So kept trying, you know, going back and forth. Finally, this guest just drove through the gate and caused $4,000 in damage. I kid you not, just drove through it, just kept going. Now, yes, we asked the particular guest, sent him a letter for the damages. The guest denied even doing it. He said, well, I couldn't have done it. And one of the reasons was because there was no marks on the car. Well, we said, well, there's bumpers on all the damages. But we had it on video. It was very clear who the person was and the license number. So anyway, the guest refused to pay. So that's when the homeowner was brought in. And once the homeowner was brought in, the homeowner got the money from the guest and then paid the damages. We had another situation where a guest was continually threatening residents with bodily harm. And the residents would contact the board with very justifiable, saying this particular guest was verbally abusive and threatening their lives. So if we can't do anything with a guest, there would be no action. We wouldn't be able to stop that behavior. Well, that unfortunate behavior went on for a while, and it wasn't until the homeowner was cited numerous times that eventually this behavior came to a stop. So be careful that consider all points of view on this. I don't believe we can just simply say guests can come here and homeowners aren't responsible for them, because we have a big problem as far as then the accountability of guests, and I think that could lead to a much bigger problem. In the case of the one person doing damage, we wouldn't have got the $4,000. In the case of this other guest threatening people, that person would still be threatening people. So if we remove homeowner responsibility, issues and costs can then go up. Now, how does this relate to insurance? There's another viewpoint that says that some residents would just simply like the insurance to pay all of these claims. So if something happens to somebody, okay, the insurance will pay. The problem with that is, like anything, as if you have more claims, your cost goes up. So if guests were to be filing more claims, and or if we did not have waivers on residents so that when a resident fell down and it wasn't the HOA fault and the HOA is paying the claims, our premiums would go up. And I'll give you an example. In 2018, our insurance rate went up $20,000 in 1 year just because of threats of a claim. We're required under the insurance rules that if somebody threatens a lawsuit, we have to notify the insurance company of that threat. If we don't, the insurance company could deny the claim if and when there was ever a claim filed. Now, our premium cost went up $20,000, even though there was no claims filed. So, because we still have to turn them in, the insurance company gets very concerned about the potential of claims. Another example most of you are probably familiar with, a bad driver. If somebody's a bad driver, has too many tickets, too many accidents, the insurance company denies. They say, we don't want to insure you. And what happens? They become an assigned risk. Well, the same thing happens in commercial. So keep in mind, insurance is for the unexpected. It's not for the daily event, and it's not to take care of what is controllable. We have to be responsible about controlling our own actions if we want to not have too many claims lead to an increased cost for which we become non-insurable. Now, example in my business up north, without a waiver, my insurance company will not insure me. It's that simple. They check the waiver. They examine it. They make changes. They'll put in some suggestions. But without a waiver, they simply go, no, we're not going to insure you. We're not interested. The alternative is double the price on the premium. Now, the same thing where insurance and waivers play a part, we had a case here where a resident used the treadmill incorrectly and got flown off the back and was accelerating and just messed up and got flown off, got hurt. Well, the HOA did nothing wrong. Fortunately, because we had instructions posted on how to use a treadmill and instructions that you could learn how to use it from staff, and because of the waiver, the judge in the case simply asked the person, what do you believe the HOA did wrong? They informed you it's dangerous. They told you about instructions, and you didn't follow it. So the HOA did not have to pay on that claim at all. So without the waiver process, the board does believe that increased claims would lead to an increased cost and possibly in the future to be non-insurable. That would be a concern. So we require insurance now on all contracts. We have hold harmless agreements for all the vendors, and consequently, you know, if they do something wrong, we then have insurance and hold harmless agreements so that they have to pay their way. They pay for the damages they cause. So that's, if you have questions about, did I miss something on waivers, insurance, let me know. Now, as far as COVID, it's kind of the same situation. We must follow the law. Otherwise, you are not financially protected. There's no insurance for COVID. So the COVID waiver also financially protects every resident in the community. Now, somebody did ask me, why do I say that we've had less than 30 cases? And the reason is this. It's kind of interesting. I have 14 confirmed cases of COVID in this community and 3 confirmed deaths. What I also have is about 8 to 10 hearsay cases. Example, I think my neighbor has COVID. Well, I don't know what to do with that. And so I asked, well, maybe you can ask your neighbor to contact me or let you know if they have COVID. And they just don't want to talk about it. So I say less than 30 because I'm going to give credibility to that. Maybe the hearsay stuff has some truth to it. Now, even with that, with 30, the board applauds every effort that all of you have made over this last year, because 30 cases is quite different than Sun City Palm Desert with 244 cases and 19 deaths. So we're doing quite well. Now, hopefully as the state starts to clear up and get us some more, the board would love nothing more than to just get things back opened a little bit. Please do not let down your guard. Don't forget about distancing. Don't forget about masking. Wash your hands. The same rules would still apply. Hopefully we can just get back where the gym might open, the indoor pool might. I mean, I personally think not opening an indoor pool is crazy. I mean, you got chlorinated water. Nothing lives in a chlorinated water pool. But that's not my call. It's the call of the state, and we have to follow those rules. If you have any questions about this, let me know. That's the reason the waivers are out at the moment. Please get them back, because they will be required in order to access the clubhouses once we start to open. Take care. Be safe. We'll talk to you all soon. Bye-bye.